89, God willing, what is that, the expression, God willing, the creek don't rise, we will finish after about over 45 pages of notes and, what, 3 months or whatever. Praise the Lord, 89 will be finished.
I'd say that's
well,
thorough.
Now you're starting to,
I'd say that's a thorough examination of that song.
Now you're starting to believe what that Russian guy said about that he only had one page of the Bible, and that's what he preached out of all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
You could. There's
yeah,
enough.
Page,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Jim, you want to pray?
Yeah, I was just thinking, Rich, you got 6 more months to teach, then the baby will be born.
Yeah, really.
Been teaching for free, huh?
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, you love it. You love it. You love it. You love it. When your children come together and have communion, we have that common union here this morning, Father, as we come together, trying to see your face, Lord, in this world. Because we know that these things are only revealed by the Spirit and not by the letter, Lord. And Father, you said when you come, don't come unworldly. And I always thought that that meant that I had to examine all the sins and things like that to live my life. And you can talk to me and you said, no, you don't have any sins left, son. I don't want you to go there. I want you to understand that you are worthy to receive this communion because of the finished work on Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ, my son. So, Father, we thank you as we come together here this morning in one accord with one heart. Holding fast to the head, Lord. Father, we pray that you open those heavens to us, inside of us. Right now, open those windows, Father, that we can see that light and that life and that love. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, we'll start at 38. We talked a little bit last week about how Ethan had a meltdown, a breakdown, Ethan allowed doubt and unbelief to come in, and when that happens, guess what? It's not good. I mean, you can go through the Bible, there's so many examples. So many examples where the complaining and the murmuring start to come in. So I don't really feel we need to read every one of these verses, but you know, we can be rough on Ethan, but guess what? We've been there. You know, we've walked that. It says, "Walk a mile in my shoes." We've walked that mile. I don't think there's probably anybody here in this room that hasn't walked that mile. But it's interesting what we say when we're in that mindset, when we're in the wrong mindset. You know, we're in the Adamic mindset versus the Messianic mindset, you know. And so I'm just going to highlight a couple of these. You know, and it just be thinking that, you know, as insane as this sounds, some of the things we've said seem pretty insane too, you know. So, but it's, a lot of it is our emotions get the best of us and we end up on that emotional down, on that roller coaster that's on the down part, and we say stupid things sometimes. I mean, here, let's just take a couple of them here. He's speaking to the Lord and saying, but now you have refused, spurned, and rejected him. You have abandoned, disavowed the agreement, the covenant, the treaty with your servant, and thrown or profaned or defiled his crown to or in the ground. So we had just read way back up there a little bit, not way back up, but just a little bit up. The Lord said, I will not lie to David. If I make a covenant with David, I will keep that covenant. And his family seed will go on forever. His kingdom, his throne will last before me like the sun. So, there's other things that he says, like, you've kept him from winning, you've thrown his throne to the ground, all this stuff, blah, 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 poor me. You've cut his life short, you've wrapped him with shame. Does the Lord ever wrap us in shame? Do we wrap ourselves in shame? I mean, have you ever seen where the Lord has wrapped you in shame? I don't think so. I mean, maybe that's something I'm off base on. I don't know. I just feel that shame is something we put on ourselves. Then he says, Lord, in 46, how long will this go on? Have we ever said that? Will you ignore? Will you hide from us forever? How long will your anger burn like a fire? Well, the only fire is the consuming fire that will burn all that up, Ethan, so that you don't say things like this anymore. Why did you create us? For nothing? So, again, goes on down to 49, says, Lord, where is your love? Where's your loyalty from times past? Lord, remember how your enemies insulted, scorned you, and how they insulted and reproached your appointed king. Wherever he went, footsteps of your anointed. But praise the Lord on the last verse of Psalms 89, 50 pages later, it says, praise the Lord forever. Blessed be the Lord forever. Thank God that's how that psalm ends. I would hate to have had it end on verse 51. When I'm reading this, I'm like going, Lord, I don't feel led to sit there and read this thing verse by verse. So what I felt the Lord wanted to talk about today was, complaining, murmuring, and what the opposite of that is. And we're going to talk about that. So if is it John or is it? I got two scriptures here. I think it's Numbers 11:1. There was a little bit of complaining going on with the children of Israel in the wilderness, as Brother Howell says that. They were on a long extended camping trip and they weren't happy campers. And so Numbers 11:1 says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. So next time you complain, and again, we're in a whole different thing, but still, the bottom line is there's no room for complaining. It says, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that they were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So that word complain means just what it says, complain or murmur. The definition in the dictionary says, the word complain means to express dissatisfaction or annoyance. I like that one. Sometimes you get annoyed if the line's too long at the store, or if someone's, like we were at sales yesterday, and it wasn't our fault, but we had two things that came up wrong on the register. So this line's back behind us, and they're having to fix these problems, and you know that the people were annoyed behind us. And I mean, I apologize to them, but I think they knew it wasn't our fault. I mean, we just came through. So it's expressing, and that's the key, is, you know, if you're complaining in here, you're only expressing it to yourself, but when you're complaining out here, you're expressing it to anybody that'll listen. Express dissatisfaction, annoyance about a state of affairs or an event. And when you hear the synonyms of complain, you don't want it. Trust me. Protest, grumble. Boy, we've got a lot of protests going on in this country, you know, especially after election. And those protests, let me just say this. Most of the time when you complain, or these synonyms, most of the time, nothing gets accomplished. I mean, really, can you agree with that? It
brings you down more.
It gets accomplished, but nothing positive, nothing good. And I think the Lord let me do this for a reason. I have never in my life filed a complaint with the Better Business Bureau, but this was all just a week before this all happened. So you know how God will let you do something? And this company, which will remain nameless, is rated F with the Better Business Bureau. They're rated an F. That's the lowest you can get. Every other place I looked had the lowest rating you could ever get for a company, by far.
We need to know.
It's public knowledge.
Well, there's a wonderful employee that they have, and it's Parker. So that's all I'll say. He's away. It's not. I had no beef whatsoever, and all these other people had no beef with the employees. It was the management and the way they manage, you know. And so, but I spent all this time writing this nice letter. I even sent a letter to the corporate office in Wisconsin, and spent all this time because of how wrong I had been treated. And if you heard the whole story, which I'm not going to say, it wasn't good. I mean, you know. But anyway, so I did all this, and they sent me a letter back saying, we're not going to do anything. Mm. Well, now you know why they have an F rating. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, what did I get accomplished? By spending all, I mean, if I would have sat down, read the Bible, and just spent time, you know, redeemed my time much more productively, guess what? It would have been a much, much, I mean, I wasn't writing angry. I didn't use capital letters or whatever, you know. But it was just the whole point that, you know.
Did they at least apologize for the experience you had?
You read the letter.
No.
Basically, they were just saying that we're not going to do anything about it.
Too bad.
Sorry for your luck.
Yeah.
Sorry for your luck.
You close, you'll find a coupon for $3 off a carton of
cigarettes. And the only thing I asked for was for them to do it right this time. Just do it right. But I don't want to have to come into your store and spend two hours of my time trying to explain all this, you know, because they didn't have. They sold me something they said they had, they didn't have it, and I said, well, let me go to the other store and pick it up. Well, the whole paperwork got all messed up, and I sent a contractor over to pick up stuff at the Loveland store, and they said, we don't have any record of this.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had to pay him to go there and pick up, you know, something that he couldn't pick up. So anyway, the bottom line, huh?
Whatever you're done.
Okay, the bottom line is this, I just wasted my time, is what I'm saying, because I was complaining. And God let me do all that, and in 62 years, I've never, ever filed, written a letter, filed anything or whatever, but God let me do that because of today, you know?
Rich?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that in the Strong's, the primitive root of this word complain is to mourn.
Yeah.
And mourning usually involves a loss.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you lost money, but you certainly lost time, and maybe some peace.
Yeah.
Well, I already need that.
I was explaining it by, I'm trying to give them some information that would help them.
Well, and you know what, that's the, that was my intent.
I can tell you all the things I've got back.
They don't want help.
This isn't gonna sound good, but there's a scripture that says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be harmless and blameless, the sons of God, of its crooked and perverse nation, to whom you show forth as light in the world. And that is a really hard thing to do, because when somebody does you wrong or doesn't do what they're supposed to do, it really aggravates you, you know, in the natural. But you know, we learn as we go along that a lot of times the grumbling and complaining really doesn't do any good.
Doesn't do any good.
Most of the time it doesn't.
But don't you think that's part of the trials and tribulations in order to...
It is, and it's... Some of these things are some of the hardest things in the world to do. It's not easy to do that.
Redemption.
It's not easy to do all things without murmuring or just...
Before you get there, I just want to tell you the synonyms, okay? So these are synonyms of complaint. Protest, grumble, whine, bleat, and make a fuss. Okay, okay, now, let me just, I knew bleeding had to do with sheep, I knew that. But let me give you a definition of bleeding. It's an intransitive verb that means to make the natural cry of a sheep or goat, to utter a similar whimper, to talk complainingly or with a whine. That's the definition of bleat. So, God does all things well, you know. Think about that. He says, my sheep know my voice. I know you're going to complain like some idiot. You know, I know that. But guess what? I've got a better way.
I think this is interesting because last night I had a dream where I spent the day with my mother. It was a wonderful dream. Ooh.
You get a lot of dreams, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When I woke up, I was sitting in the sunroom this morning, just, you know, having some time with the Lord, and this thought came to me, and I was, you know, gnawing on it, that my mother is now over there in that great cloud of witnesses, as well as my father and almost every other member of my family. And in my mind, I was thinking about when my mom was alive, I used to, you know, I knew exactly how. Mom, you just don't know what they've done. And your mother would be right there with me, and she'd be like, well, you just, you know. Because I'm her baby, you know, and I was imagining my mom on the other side in that great cloud of witnesses, that every time I would try to tell her, but Mom, you just don't know what they've done to me. They did this and this. And, you know, people are being mean to me. People don't understand me. And she's going, well, praise God, praise God. And my whole family's going, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I was getting so angry. And it made me realize that complaining is definitely on this side of the veil. When we see God and what he is really accomplishing in our lives, we will indeed welcome trouble as friends and invite them in and tell them to sit down. And I was getting so angry because I couldn't get anybody.
Couldn't get a witness, huh?
No, to do anything except praise God, you don't understand. Now look at what he's doing for you. Hallelujah. I mean, they were acting like I just won the lottery, you know? And I was trying to get my mom to pat me on the head, hold me in her arms. She was just having none of it.
Looking for a little empathy out there.
Yeah, and don't you think that's interesting, that that's exactly what God gave me today?
That's meant to be, for sure. Well, you know, what the Lord kind of showed me after all this is there's only two men, right? Adam and Christ. And so with this, it's a perfect example of the two men. You've got the synonyms of complain. Now listen to the antonyms of complain. Listen to the opposites. Delight and rejoice. Delight and rejoice. The near antonyms are accept, bear, countenance, endure, take, tolerate, applaud, cheer, and commend.
I like delight and rejoice.
Delight and rejoice is the opposite of complaining.
What's that scripture say? Delight thyself in the Lord.
Yeah.
And he'll give you the desires of your heart.
That's right. Yeah, the word rejoice occurs 192 times in the Bible. Guess how many times the word complain appears? 4. Guess what he wants us to do? Rejoice. In Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he even repeats it. I love it when he repeats it because he is emphasizing that this is important. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
What's 4 the number of?
4 is
the world.
The world, yeah.
So when you said there's, it's only in there 4 times complaining, that means
you're in the world realm,
buddy. You're complaining all the time.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you know, it's funny how everything falls into line, even with that stuff.
Perfect.
Know?
Just perfect. Yeah. And I love in Revelation 19:7, this just really got me excited. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Doesn't say it's down the road 17 years from now or a decade or a millennium from now. It says it's come, present tense. And his wife, past tense, made herself ready. So I like that.
Wow.
I thought that was good.
It says at last has come.
Pardon?
It says in here at the marriage of at last.
That's it. That's it.
He's leaping over
his
mountain.
You know, I have had companies I have talked to when things have not been, when I talk to them in person on the phone, I don't want anybody to get in trouble. I've had the fortune of that. I can't tell you all of the, I've got coupons, money, I can name a lot of companies, and I just talked to them and told them, and maybe the product has changed, and it wasn't exactly as I thought it was, and I called, you know, and they refer me to someone, and I said, I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble, I just have questions about such and such, and this is what such, I can't tell you the free things they've sent me, probably 5 different companies that I have actually just talked to.
We've
all been.
Number of
crimes. Yeah, 5. Yeah. Well, you know, we have a policy now that if there is something and we do bring it to someone's attention in a loving, caring way, which I feel I did that with this, that if they at least apologize or at least show some concern whatsoever, we'll continue to frequent that place. Mm-hmm. But when they don't, we write them off.
And when you write to someone,
we don't spend our money there anymore.
Lots of times they read it not the way you've written it to them. Mm-hmm. You know, they take offense and maybe read it not exact how you've written it.
Yeah, these were just facts.
Yeah, facts. These are just facts. I know.
There was no emotion in them. I didn't want to make it emotional. I wanted to make it just facts. Mm-hmm. We weren't asking for anything free. We weren't just,
I wasn't either.
Do your job. That's all. So, okay. John 6:43 says, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. Mm-hmm. That word murmur, which is a definition of complaining, is of those who discontentedly complain.
He's wanting to know what you're reading in that.
What's that?
What are you doing?
John 6:43. And that word murmur means to mutter, grumble, say anything against in a low tone. Okay, so I was just thinking about this, and the best possible example, I thought, in the Bible is Habakkuk, how you want to pronounce it. Because that whole book is about what we're talking about. The whole book, every bit of it. Chapter 1, I just did some snippets here. Really, if you haven't read Habakkuk lately, I would strongly recommend reading it. Chapter 1 in the Expanded Bible, the title is Habakkuk Complains. That's the title of it. Habakkuk Complains. Lord, how long must I ask? How long should I cry and call for help? And you ignore, you do not hear me. Isn't that what we just heard Ethan saying? Complaining is of the same spirit. The Lord that then answers, and I just get snippets of this. The Lord then answers and says, or he says, the Lord answered me, and this is so good, write down the vision. Write down the vision. Write down those dreams, Kathy. Write them down. Write it clearly, plainly on clay tablets, so whoever reads it can run to tell others. You know, like your poems, whatever. I mean, these are things that need to be shared because God gave them to you to share.
What verses are you reading here?
I just skipped down to...
Oh, you skipped around.
Yeah, right? I'm skipping around. This is verse 2, I think, of chapter 2. Because chapter 1, he complains, and I didn't want to spend any time on that. Chapter 2, the Lord answers, and then chapter 3 is awesome. I think there's 3 chapters, if not, whatever. Okay. Let's go back up. It says, okay, the Lord says, write it down. It is not yet time for the message. Sometimes you got to sit on some stuff and share it when the Lord tells you to share it, you know? I know you said the thing about you didn't tell me about that until you've been married 2 or 3 months, you know? If you'd have jumped out there with that word.
Well, and I got checked on it a little bit. I felt like the Lord said that to me. But I also, for some reason, because most of the time whenever the Lord gives me something concerning somebody, I give it to him right then. That's because right. I don't like that holding back stuff, you know. And but I kind of got checked on it, you know, and I just waited. And, you know, it was a true word. You know,
it sure was.
Let me just tell you one other thing. I can remember years ago, my Uncle Wiley, he used to go out and he would try to preach total reconciliation. I mean, this is like 30 years ago.
That's rough.
30 years ago. And just nobody would receive that. I mean, 30 years ago, you just couldn't get anybody hardly receive that. 30, 40 years ago. I mean, you know. And the funny thing is that a lot of times God gives you a word. And sometimes it's a word that's a visionary word, and he wants you to give it then. And then sometimes it's a word out of season, you know. Mm-hmm. And you just have to wait until he brings it to pass, you know. But now that word is pretty well accepted, you know. But years ago, when he would, I mean, I heard him on the radio a few times when I was, even when I was a kid, you know, and that's a long time ago when I was a kid. I heard him on the radio because he'd get on this radio. This one guy had a radio broadcast, and he'd go up there sometimes and speak. And he'd get into total reconciliation a little bit. And, but that just was not received, you know.
He couldn't help it.
Well, that's the word, that was the word God was burning down in his heart. Mm-hmm. See, you know.
Somebody had to set the seed.
Yeah, they did.
Still,
they did.
It's still.
Brother Benny and them with that word that they brought forth.
Mistaken identity.
Yeah, get the mistaken identity and with the, basically, yeah, stepping into the Holy of Holies and all that kind of stuff. That was a word a little bit ahead of its time, you know. God's bringing it around, you know. It's coming around.
Praise the Lord. It is not yet time for the message to come true, for the vision awaits an appointed time.
Yeah, there's always an appointed time.
But that time is coming soon. It hastens to the end, or it speaks about the end. The message will come true. It may not... It may seem like a long time. This is all about timing.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be crucial. There's a lot of words there that relate to this. It may seem like a long time, but though it tarries or lingers, be patient and wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not be delayed. Then reality broke forth on Habakkuk. He heard what the Lord said, and he heard it in his with his spiritual ears, and it got deep into his heart. And he realized how awesome the Lord is, and the rest of this whole book of Habakkuk is all about how awesome God is. It says, "But I will wait patiently for the day of disaster that will come to the people who attack or invade us. Fig trees may not grow figs, and there may be no grapes on the vine." This was their livelihood. This was what kept them alive. "And there may be no grapes on the vine. There may be no olives growing. The produce of the olive fails, disappoints. And no food growing in the fields." That's a pretty dismal picture there. Mm-hmm. "There may be no sheep in the pens, and no cattle in the barns." And then here it goes. "But I will be glad, rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice, be joyful in God my Savior. The Lord God is my strength. He makes me like a deer that does not stumble, my feet like deer's, and I can walk on the steep mountain heights." He turned it around, didn't he?
Can I read that in Amplified?
Yes, please.
It says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the victorious God of my salvation."
Yeah.
"For the Lord is my strength, my personal bravery, my invincible army, and he makes my feet like hind's feet, and will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk, and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility."
That was very good. So he stopped complaining and realized that was getting him nowhere. He stopped complaining and started praising the Lord. The opposite of, how many times did he say in there, rejoice? The opposite of complaining is rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord. You know, you start looking at all the blessings and quit looking at all the things you don't have or all the things that, you know, isn't working out to your liking or whatever. And I mean, you know, complaining, it's just all steeped in self. I mean, when you think about it, it's just all, that's all it is. I didn't get my way.
You notice how Habakkuk's whole demeanor and everything changed by verse number 1 in chapter 2, where he says, one translation says, and I will go up into my tower, into a high place, and I will see what God will say unto me.
Oh, yeah.
And he was complaining all that time, but when he went up into the high place, when he went and sought the face of God, his whole demeanor, he was waiting to hear what God would say. And whenever you hear the voice of the Lord, it's encouragement, it builds faith, it delivers, it redeems, and it sets you free from all the complaining and the murmuring and so on and so forth. But it happened in 2:1.
Yeah.
It changed.
He got all his complaining out of his system, and guess what? Well, maybe I'll just see what the Lord has to say about this. I mean, isn't that sometimes how we are? It's like we get, you know, we deal with it, you know, our own way first, and then we like wise up and say, you dummy, you know, take this to prayer, you know. Just go quiet yourself, get in your prayer closet, and just hear what the Lord has to say about this. You know?
We go there last instead of first. Yeah.
Amen.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really, that's
and, the best. But then we wonder why the trials come.
Yeah.
And that's why they come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To get us to go up
we
into our
time. We can bypass all of that haste.
We go to good.
Yeah.
We walk in the Spirit.
That's
yep.
7:24. Yeah. The best we can. By his grace.
Amen.
It's
good.
Well, you're going to have to fill out the rest of the time. Me and what the Lord gave me is 89 is finished. I don't know how many weeks or months or whatever. I know, like I said, I don't think you guys are here, but I mean, it was like 45 to 50 pages of notes for one chapter of the book of Psalms. Well,
just fantastic.
I got two things. One is a funny story, talking about your mom. One of Clyde's sister, I won't mention any names, came home after she was married, knocked on the front door because, you know, she was done with that. She was being treated not how she wanted. And she came home, and his mom opened the door, cracked, and said, "What do you want?" She goes, you know, tried to explain what was going on. She goes, "Go home. You don't live here anymore." Oh,
that's some wisdom there.
I thought that was great. And the second thing is, you're speaking right to me because I got a bill later on my counter right now. It's for a lot of money. It's like, oh, I'm going to call them. Right to me. Hospital.
That's what I was thinking, medical.
Yep.
They tend to inflate those bills. One thing about medical bills, you can at least get them to knock it down a percentage point or two if you call. So. They will typically work with you a little bit, not much, but a little bit.
I called for two people that I had, his sister, the one that had a stroke as well, not Debbie, another one, and they sent her this stuff and charged and Medicare and all this, and I called and talked to them, then I talked to Medicare, and they got their money back. I said, I know you're paying for something that we're returning, and we had returned it. I returned it for her. And then another lady I took care of, they had put down all this therapy and things that they had done, they did not. And I called them, talked nicely to them. And then I called the insurance, Medicare, and they took care of them. They got the money reimbursed back to them. Mm. It was long haul, but I don't mind. I don't mind taking care of business. And so,
a lot of times, if you deal with people, you can get much farther if you talk to them nicely.
Yes.
Right. Years ago, I got hurt at work when that time that my eye got punctured, and you know, I started getting bills from the hospital and different things and so on and so forth. And they weren't paying the bills like they were supposed to, you know. And I called one of the bill collectors, and I asked him, I says, you know, what's going on here? I said, you know, we've sent in all the forms, everything should be going on. He said, well, let me tell you something. He said, I used to work for insurance companies. And he said, you know, most people don't know this. He said, but insurance companies, we were told to take about every fifth or sixth claim and find some reason to delay it and to hold it back.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, we did that because it was just millions of dollars that would stay in our accounts for an extra month or whatever that we didn't have to pay out. And he said, you know, that's why a lot of times, like, the forms I had filled out somehow for the insurance, I had put down my Social Security number and all that kind of stuff. Well, they wanted some other number, see. Well, they knew who I was by the Social Security number. You know, they knew all that. But it's like they play games with you, and they play games. And you might as well just work your way on through it. And if you, the person that's taking care of it, it's not really them, you know. And if you get real hefty with them, they won't help you. You know, they'll actually back off and not help you. But if you talk to them nicely a lot of times, they'll actually jump in there and try to help you and help you work through it. And that's where that soft answer turns away wrath and do all things without murmurings and disputings. And we don't always do that because sometimes they really tick you off and you go off before you realize what you've done. And then you think, you feel bad later on. You think, man, I really shouldn't have done that. I didn't handle that very well. But you know. If you go at it in the right way, a lot of times you'll get so much better results, and people will work with you sometimes. But
just like over there at Walmart, I've got so mad so many times stuff they give away, and then people are not deserving of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go there and you complain, they're gonna give it to you. I mean, period.
Yeah.
I mean, I see them just set the tires away.
Oh my God.
Don't set the tires. Don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Savings, put the tires on, and all kinds of things, you know. Oh, your oil change real high? Scared you. No charge, don't worry about it. It's just, it makes me sort of, because they've been a jerk to me. I want to tell them, no, if you keep your mouth shut. I've been called out for that 2 or 3 times.
Well, really, to be honest, that's good business.
Yeah.
If you treat the customers good, they will come back.
That's a fact.
And they won't if they start bed mouthing you out there,
yeah,
you're in trouble after a while.
I mean, we went to this one restaurant and we weren't even gonna say anything, and the owner stopped us on the way out and says, "How was your meal?" And I said, wasn't the best. I mean, you know, we didn't even complain. He asked us, and he said, "Here, I'm gonna give you a gift card for $25. I want you to come back and have a meal with me, and I'm so sorry." Man, we go to that place at least once or twice a month. I mean, because first of all, that was the only bad meal we ever had. And second of all, the service. I mean, this guy knows how to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell him every time, I say, "Hey, Eric," I said, I never forget the time you took care of us. I said, you're a good businessman and you deserve credit for that. You know, because people a lot of times will say the bad. But we always, if a server does a great job, we tell them, "Man, you do a really, really good job." You know, you got to be complimentary and build people up, too. You know, we just can't sit there and complain. You know, if we go to a store and the service is good, there's a couple places we go, and, man, they really take care. You can tell that it's really good. And so we tell them, "Good job." I mean, we'll go to the manager. "Who's your manager? We want to talk to him. I'm sure all they hear is the bad. We're going to tell them the good about you." And I think that's important too.
And a lot of times, if you start off with like a smile and get out, you can see their attitudes change right before your eyes. Because they're expecting you to come down on them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come off nice, it's like, and then they start laughing. It's friendly. And, I mean, it's a whole different attitude.
That's that old scripture. Soft answer turned away.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know.